morning comes from Joshua 4, beginning in the 19th verse. The people came up by the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until we passed over, as your Lord God did the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" The word of the Lord.
Stand together for a reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage in Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent away and found it just as they had just as been told, and as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Father, we know that without you, without the working of your Holy Spirit, we cannot come to understand your word. And would you be so kind to open our minds and our hearts to be able to hear and in hearing see the wonders of your Son. Come, we pray, Lord Jesus, and be glorified in our midst. We pray it in your precious name. Amen. So, amazingly enough, 10 years ago, this Palm Sunday, 10 years ago Palm Sunday, 2009, Christ Church came into this building for the first time. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I'm not sure I like what's behind me, but they were the ones leading the conversation, and we brought them back, which is just lovely. I want to speak to you today about a Palm Sunday long time ago. It may surprise you where I'm going to go with this, but I want you to know how the Bible understands Palm Sunday. It is always called the 10th day of the first month. Now, I didn't make that up. You're going to find that here. I'm going to read it from, if you've got Bibles, Exodus 12. And verse 1 and following, it says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month,'" meaning the Passover, "'this month shall be for you the beginning of months. And it shall be the first month of the first year for you. And tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household.'" It's the 10th day of the first month that begins Passover. That's the day that they would select a lamb, and for 4 days they would test to make sure that that lamb was blameless and beyond reproach and ready for the 14th day, when the lamb would die, the blood would be shed. The blood would be put on the lintels of the doorposts, and we would know our sins are forgiven. And on the day of judgment, the Lord is going to come and see that the lamb has paid for us, and he is going to pass over. Yes, he is. He's going to pass over so that the judgment won't come upon us because we're set free. That's what the lamb has come to do. And so everything inside of me wants to race to that Luke 19 passage that we just heard. Because on that Palm Sunday, all the lambs are coming in on the 10th day of the first month to come in to be selected on that day and tested. And on that day, it is the Lamb of God himself who begins to process into Jerusalem to be selected to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on that day. But I'm not going to go there yet. There is another Palm Sunday I want to remember with you, one that is so important, at least to me. I wonder if you heard this passage that was read from Joshua and chapter 4. You're going to find on verse 19, this is the day that Israel entered into the promised land. Do you know what day Israel, even to the last person, entered into the promised land? On the 10th day of the first month. They entered into the promised land on Palm Sunday. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you that this was a day when they were to select the lamb. This is the day that the Lord chose to fulfill all the promises he had made. This is the day that we find here in this passage of Joshua 4 that the Lord is going to show his mighty power and demonstrate it that the children might understand. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you about that day. Would you mind? On that day, they came up to the River Jordan. The Jordan, Joshua 3:15. I'm not making this up. Joshua 3:15, the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. And on that day, they couldn't get into the promised land. But the Lord said to Joshua, take the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant in which was the Word of God, the rod of Aaron, which was the manna that was in the Ark, the incarnate presence of the Lord, where the glory shone, the throne of the God of Israel. Take the Ark, and when the priests touch the River Jordan, the River Jordan's going to part, and the ground's going to go dry. And they're going to stand in the bed of that Jordan, the priests with the ark, and all Israel is going to pass over. And when all of Israel is passed over, then the priests are going to come up out of the Jordan. Don't you love that story? Let me tell you why. They're passing over to the promised land only because the Passover lamb got them in. And they did it on the 10th day of the first month, the beginning of the Passover feast. You'd think there's a theme here. It's Passover. The focus is on the lamb. We can pass over the Jordan because he passed over us. We are free now to enter all the promises. And so the way this scripture is read is this way. 4:19, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And when those people had passed over, all of Israel had passed over, do you know that there's something else that happened? The Lord said, wait, don't let the priests come up quite yet. Don't let the Ark of the Covenant come out yet. First, go down into the bed of the Jordan and get 12 men from 12 tribes to get a stone. Right where the priest's feet are, grab a stone, put it upon your shoulder, and bring it out of the Jordan. There Joshua goes down. He actually sets 12 stones in the bed of the Jordan, and 12 stones come out of the Jordan, and the 12 that come out are placed in to be a sign and a memorial, a testimony forever. You'll find that in Joshua and chapter 4. It says it this way. Verse 5, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign for you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them. You shall say to them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Look again in chapter 4 and verse 21. When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? You shall say, let your children know, Israel has passed over the Jordan on dry ground. The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, that all the peoples of the Lord may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Stones that were in the bed of the Jordan have a song to sing. Let the children hear the song. This service and this Holy Week, and every time we do these things, these rhythms of the year, we're doing them so the next generation can hear it loud, can hear it strong. So set up the stones and let the stones sing. What do they say? Do you want to hear the song? Because back at the very beginning, when we were exiled from Eden, the Lord made promises to us. And those promises, he has never failed us and he has never forsaken us. Did you know that? When it came time to the days of Abraham, he entered into covenant with Abraham and said to the people, and said to Abraham and to his offspring, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And he said to Abraham in Genesis 15, long before it happened, there's coming a day in which you will be afflicted in a different country. You will be slaves, but I will bring judgment on that nation. And afterward, they shall come out. And as they come out, I will bring you back here to the land. And so way back in Genesis, the Lord was saying, I'm promising, you're going to be in a nation, you're going to be slaves, but I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to bring you back. There's coming a day where you're coming back to the promised land. And that's the story. That's the whole story. I would say to you, that's the comprehensive story of the entire Bible. And so we find out in Exodus chapter 2, that's what happened. Israel was bound and captive in Egypt. They were under slavery in Egypt. And what happened? They groaned and they complained in their suffering. And out came that groan, a cry for help. Exodus 2, 23, 24, a cry for help. Do you know what that sound is? That groan, that cry for help? It is the word Hosanna. Hosanna first is not a praise. Hosanna first is a groan and a cry for help. The word means, in its original, save us, we pray. And they groaned, and they groaned. And what did the Lord do? He acted, just as he promised. And his promises never fail. And so the Lord did what only he could do. He gave them a Passover lamb. On the day of judgment, he saved them. On the day of judgment, he rescued them and forgave them. And then it came as he led them out, he led them to the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, as the Egyptian army came against them and they had a sea in front of them, they cried out again in fear, Hosanna, save us, we pray. And Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand firm. You are about to see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord's going to fight for you. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses raised his hand, and the sea parted, and the ground went dry, and Israel passed over the Red Sea. They could pass over because he passed over on the day of judgment. And they were free. That picture of the Red Sea would become a picture, 1 Corinthians 10, that would show us down into baptism, up into new life. The Lord has come to set the captives free, and that's exactly what he does. And the message that comes out of the stones, remember the Red Sea, remember what the Lord has done, because guess what? He not only did it at the Red Sea, but when it came time at the River Jordan to enter the promised land, he did it again. Oh, Joshua didn't raise up his hands. He just sent the Ark of the Covenant down. And sure enough, it happened. The waters parted, and down went Israel, and up came Israel. And the testimony of these stones is one and the same. It will always be the same. Children, hear the sound. The Lord has saved in the past. He saves in the present. Do you believe that? My friends, if we don't believe that the Lord saves, what we're doing today is really crazy. It really is. Listen to me. The Masters Tournament is on now. Right now. Some of you are leaving. I can see that. Now, come on. We can play the world's game. My friends, if this is not true, if the Lord does not save, then what we're doing is absolutely futile. It makes no sense. No sense at all. And yet the Lord does save. And that's what the stones say. Remember. Remember what the Lord has done. Remember he rescued you from Egypt. He brought you out. Remember what he has done. How he brought you to the land of the wilderness and all the trials. And remember, he parted the Jordan. He brought you to the promised land. My friends, we have a promise. Because one day when we breathe our last, or one day when the Lord returns, that Jordan is going to part again. We're going home on Palm Sunday, and there's going to be a celebration. Because you know what? The Lord saves. Yes, he does. This past week, I was with a pastor in the Midwest whose life has just fallen completely apart. He is standing just like the Israelites at the Red Sea. He looks behind him. He looks in front of him. He feels trapped in his soul. And deep down, he's got a Hosanna. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't understand the burdens, how he's going to be set free. He doesn't believe. He doesn't know. His eyes are on all the circumstances. He looks at me. He's despairing. He's physically not well. He's mentally not well. His marriage is not well. The circumstances are not well. And he looks at me and he stares. What am I supposed to say? See, the thing is this. If I'm an ER doc and I have no medicine, what do? I hold his hand and say, "You're in pain. It stinks to be you." And that's what secular counseling can offer us. They can't offer us what this offers. I couldn't stand by him and just begin to recall. I became a living stone. I began to testify of all that the Lord has done, because he is faithful and he is good and he loves us. And I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to see us through. Do you believe that? Why is it? Because the Lord saves. Because the Lord rescues. Because that's what he does. And I looked him in the eyes and said, "I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm in this with you until we see the Lord break through. And the rivers part for you. And we'll walk to the other side." Now you and I know that this picture in the... Well, I hope you know. This picture in the Old Testament is just that. It's a copy and a shadow. Forgive me if you don't agree with me, but I'm going to tell you that the physical land of Israel is called the Promised Land, but it's the physical Promised Land. It's not the real Promised Land. You do know that. The new Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth. The Eden of the past is going to be the Eden in the front. If you haven't read the end of the Bible, it is a good read. It's a good read. You should read the end of the, because we're going to a place. We're going home. We're going to the Promised Land. That's what the Lord promises us. Does he not? He's giving us a hope and a future that this earth and this world cannot contain. In the same way, the bondages that we suffer are not the bondages of Egypt. You do understand that. It's the bondage of Egypt is only a picture, a copy and a shadow of the bondage of sin and the world and the flesh and the devil, the torment. The Lord has come to deliver us from that and to save us. And in just the same way, the many lambs that were slain were only a copy and a shadow of the Lamb to come. So the prophet said, we need the Messiah to come. We need the Messiah to come. Because inside of all of us, whether we want to face it or not, whether we want to try to medicate and medicate and medicate so we don't feel it, don't feel the sound inside of us, but there's a sound in the human soul, and that sound is called Hosanna, Lord, save us. Because I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know the end of the story because I'm lost, because I feel the army behind and the sea in front, and I'm trapped, and I don't know what's going on, and I can't fix it. Men, that is a big confession right there. All of us. We can't fix it. Yeah, but we know who can. And so on that day, on that amazing day when all the lambs were coming in because it was the 10th day of the first month, there was another sound in Jerusalem just outside its gates. A crowd had gathered and processed with palm branches and cloaks because all eyes were upon Jesus. The king was coming in, humble and mounted upon a donkey, just like prophet Zechariah said it would happen. The Lamb of God was being selected. He was now coming in to be tested for 4 days. Read the Gospels, that's what happened to him. He was tested over and over until he finally put the test to the end, because he is spotless, because he is God the Son, become fully man, the perfect Lamb of God, ready to take upon himself the sins of you and of me and of the whole world. And out comes the cry and the worship of the people. Hosanna! Hosanna first a groan, and Hosanna second a praise. A groan, a praise, because it's all wrapped up one and the same. He is the answer to all of us. He's come to save us. He's come to rescue us. He's come to take us down into the waters, because only he can part them. He is the fullness of the Ark of the Covenant himself, going down into the waters. And what he's come to do is to rescue us out of the bondage of sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and set us free and give us new life. He has come to save us. That's his name. Jesus, the one who has come to save and to rescue us. This is he. This is the one who's come to do that. And when we're on the other side, to lead us through the wilderness of this life, until at last when it comes, don't worry about this. When death comes, when the storms of death begin to come closer and closer, because that day comes, death cannot have you. Savior has come for you. If he has put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of your life and of your heart, my dear friends, on that day, you're just crossing the Jordan. And he's already gone before you. And when you get up on the other side, I think maybe you have to wait for the rest of us, because we're right behind you. Or maybe I'll be waiting for you, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, when the last one comes onto that shore, it's called the 10th day of the first month. And all our eyes are going to be on the Lamb. And we're going to praise him. And we're going to worship him. Because of him, he passed over us that we might pass over into the glories to come and enter the promised land. Oh, my friends, you and I. That's why, do you hear what Jesus said? Oh, I'm going to spoil Friday for you. Do you hear what he said to the cross, on the thief on the cross? Today, you're going to be home today. He's come to save us. He's come to rescue us. And for 2,000 years, those stones have been set up to sing his praise. The only problem is those stones are living stones. They're us. Shouting the praise of the Savior who really saves. Who really saves. Do you believe he really saves? Do you realize that our children growing up in this culture need to hear and need to know he really saves? This is how the service designed. Come, children, and see the stones and hear. What they do not need is come to a dead church with a pastor who has not been rescued, not been saved, knows nothing of these things, and get dead religion. Do you know why? They'll never come back. They will grow up and they will flick the church, say goodbye you, because I went, I saw, and there was no song. And so, as I've said to you so many times, so what's happened in my generation? They've realized that the whole world around us is entertaining. So we'll now have churches that are full of entertaining. That'll get the kids in. And so we entertain them until something happens. They're not looking for entertainment, they're looking for substance. Substance. Somebody just tell me that they can see me. Somebody just tell me they can hear me. Don't just Send me out and fill me with pleasures, because one day the pleasures are over, and these kids that are growing up, what's happening is that they're finding that it's not working. They're feeling confused, they're feeling lost, they're feeling troubled, they're feeling anxious, they're feeling afraid, they've got a despair inside of them. As my friend just said, they're so stuck, isn't that right, Skip? They're so stuck on the iPhone, they can't see anything else. It's all this entertainment world, and we've handed our kids over to this entertainment world, and when trial comes, they don't know what to do. We can't see them, we can't hear them. We think that the answer, because we handed them over to this generation, this culture of pleasure, and now in the hour of testing, they're feeling lost. They don't know their identity, who God is, that He created them and loves them and has chosen them. They don't know their purpose. They don't know that the Lord has had from the foundation of the world a plan for their life. He's got a reason for them being here. They don't know their value, that they're worth something. And they're so looking just for security, a sense that they're loved and cared for, a sense of peace in a world that is only feeding chaos. My friends, if we do not rise up and let Jesus, Lord, give us the song that belongs to us, the generation that's coming up isn't hearing. We're losing the kids to something else. And that's why for me, I don't particularly want a church that's just a good church, that we have fun together and do life together. And isn't it great to be together? I need to know that we know that the Hosanna of our heart is heard, that Jesus is alive, that what he did is real, and that he can meet our deepest Hosanna in the heart of our soul. Deepest Hosanna, he can meet us. He can hear that cry, and he can rescue, because Jesus Christ saves. He saves. He saves in the present. He saved in the past, he saved in the present. He can hear us. He sees us when we feel like we're unseen. He knows us when we feel like we're not known. He remembers his covenant. He promises to come meet all of us where we are and bring us out. Some days I pray for Christ Church and I see this place full of children. What do you think? I see this place full of youth. What do you think? I see this place affecting the Prince Creek world because I think we are here for a purpose and for a reason. We got a song to sing. We have a Savior who's real and rescues. Palm Sunday, it's a day of song and of praise. It's a day where we select the Lamb and say, "Oh, Lamb of God, Jesus, you are mine. You have rescued me. Now let me go be a stone that sings the song." Oh, do you have the song inside? Come, let us pray.